Welcome everyone to our morning service. We're pleased to have the Reverend Peter Dundee with us today to lead us in worship. Some announcements before our service begins. Our prayer time this evening will be at 7:10, followed by our evening service at 7:30, which Peter will lead. There are some In Touch Leprosy Mission magazines on the vestibule table. Please take one on your way out if you didn't get one last Lord's Day. On Tuesday evening, the midweek prayer meeting will be at 8 o'clock. Next Saturday morning, the Girls Brigade breakfast will be in Ballymoney RP Church Hall anytime between 9 o'clock and 11:30. I've been asked to read the edict for the ordination and installation of a minister. In our case, it's an installation of a minister. Whereas the call of this congregation to Johnny McCollum has been sustained as a regular call and has been accepted by him, Presbytery hereby gives notice that it will meet at Karratz Reformed Presbyterian Church on the 25th day of October 2025 at 2 o'clock to install him to the pastorate of the congregation, signed by the moderator and the clerk of Presbytery. We look forward to this special occasion in the life of our congregation. The Lord has answered our prayers abundantly. Next Saturday afternoon, the front three centre pews will be reserved for the ministers and elders of the Northern Presbytery. Karratz members and adherents will be seated in the other centre pews. The wheelchair pew on the right-hand side of the church will be reserved for a family from Letterkenny. And if you plan to attend the installation and you didn't put your name down on the sheet last Lord's Day, if you want to attend, please let one of the elders know today. Next Lord's Day, our meetings will be at the normal times. Our new minister will lead our services morning and evening. There are some photo cards of Johnny, Ruth, Caleb, Esme and Jude on the vestibule table. Please take one and commit to upholding the family in your prayers. Two announcements in relation to the CY. The CY sleepover for those in year 8 and above will take place at Ballyclabber from the 31st October at 7:30 p.m. to the 1st of November at 9 p.m. The speaker will be the Reverend Nathan Hawthorne. The cost will be £15 to be brought in cash on the 31st October. The CY dinner for those aged 16 plus will take place in Collybaggy RP Church on Friday the 7th of November at 6:30 p.m. at a cost of £25 per person. These are all the announcements, and we ask Peter now to lead us in worship.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you this morning. And I do have to say, I feel very much like the warm-up act this morning. I know that your mind will be on the week that is to come and the big event that is for next Saturday. But we trust that nevertheless, the Lord will teach us, will be with us this morning, and that we will know his blessing as we come to worship him together. And as we come to worship God this morning, let's hear the words of Jesus as we find them in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" We come to worship by singing Psalm 117, the C selection of the psalm. And the tune is Duke Street, tune 10. Psalm 117C, Duke Street, tune 10. Psalm 117 may be short on length, but it is long on meaning. This is a psalm which is a call to praise, for all to praise. In every land, of every tongue, all are to bring their praise to God. And this psalm contains two great truths about God. That God is a God who is of mercy, and God is a God who speaks his word. And how wonderful the truth is that the mercy of God is known in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word himself. And it is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ this morning that we come to worship. And this isn't something that we are just doing this morning. It's not something that we will do next Saturday afternoon. This is something that is to be done for all eternity. We praise God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ today and forevermore. We stand to sing Psalm 117C to the tune Duke Street, tune 10. Let us come to worship. Remain standing for prayer. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, how good it is this morning to be together in your presence. We thank you, Father, that we have heard that call to gather together, to lift our voices in praise to you, to turn our eyes towards you, and to acknowledge you as God. We recognize you, Father, as the great Jehovah, the one who is our Creator, the one who has provided redemption for us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one to whom all glory must be given. And may it be, Father, that this morning we join together with those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world today, in every land and of every tongue, in bringing praise to your name. And we thank you, Father, that we do indeed belong to that great body which is the church, that body which is without number, that body which stretches back in time, and that body that will be gathered together in eternity to come to the glory of your name in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, that you are the God of mercy. We remember thankfully, Father, that you did not have to redeem us, that you did not have to save us, but you, because of your love and because of the God who you are, and you are good in yourself in your entirety, we praise you, Father, that you did not leave your creation just simply to decay, but you provided that way of redemption. That is a merciful thing, Father, and we praise you that this morning that mercy has been extended to us once more. And we ask that we may come humbly before you because of that, and that we may give you thanks for the great God you are and for the mercy you show us. We praise you, Father, that you have not been a silent God, but you have spoken to us through your word. And that power that spoke at the beginning of creation, that brought all that we can see into being, is the power that speaks into our hearts now, speaks deeply into our souls, bringing new life in Christ. And may it be, Father, this morning that that new life is known by each one of us. As we read your word, as your word is proclaimed, we ask, Father, that you would speak to us through it, that you would speak into those very recesses of our souls. And may it be, Father, that you speak mercy, you speak peace to each one of us. And may it be, Father, that we turn to you in thanksgiving, that we come to you in and through your Son. And may it be to the praise of your name, the work that you do in each one of us today. We thank you, Father, that what we do today is not a small thing, but it is something that is of eternal significance. Bring that truth to our mind, Father, as we bring our worship now, and may that worship be good and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. And turn with me in God's word, and we turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 22 through to verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 36. We're breaking in here to that famous passage of Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And there is a reference that we find in the Psalms in this particular reading, and it's that reference in the Psalms that we will be considering in a few moments' time. But it's good to see how Peter uses the reference in the Psalms to in this particular part of God's word in his sermon. So we read together Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through to 36. Let us hear God's living and infallible word. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, signs and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And we finish our reading at verse 36, and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. And we continue to worship God now by bringing to him our tithes and our offerings. We turn to our psalters once more to sing God's word, and we sing from Psalm 73A. Psalm 73, the A selection, singing stanzas 12 to 15. And the tune is Paschal, tune 25. Psalm 73A, 12 to 15, to the tune Paschal. Tune 25. It's one of those glorious hopes indeed. It is the ultimate hope for the one who is in Christ. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And for those who are in Christ, there is that hope in the resurrection to come. And there is that strength and guidance in the life which is. This is what the psalmist speaks of in this psalm, where he says in stanza 12, but I'm continually with you. Firm hold of my right hand you have. With counsel wise you'll be my guide. And here's the hope. And then in glory me receive. We are to be a hopeful people. And we are to be a thankful people because the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. We stand to sing Psalm 73A, 12 to 15, to Paschal tune 25. Be seated. We turn to God's word again, and we turn to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 16. The book of Psalms and Psalm 16. And this is the passage of God's word that we want to consider in a moment or two's time. Psalm 16. And this is a psalm, or as the title said, a miktam of David. Psalm 16, beginning to read verse 1. Let's hear God's holy and infallible word once more. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Amen. And we trust again that the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy word. As I've said, it is a big week, an important week for you as a congregation. It's been good to get here, hasn't it? Good to be in this situation, looking forward to your own pastor. And the Lord has shown his goodness to you in that call, being given and being accepted. And we want to bring the whole matter of next Saturday, and indeed the beginning of this new ministry in this place, to the Lord in prayer. So let us stand as we come before God in prayer. Our God and our Father, we give you our thanks that you are the God who is good, that you do good for your people. And you do good because it shows you as the glorious God who you are. We give you thanks, Father, for the call that was made to Johnny. We thank you, Father, that and trust that it was made in your will, and that you have been working through your purposes in his acceptance of the call. We thank you, Father, that this congregation is able to look forward to this new beginning in the week that is to come. And we pray, Father, that this may be a time of joy and expectation, that you are moving this congregation into that next stage of the work, that next part of the witness to the glory of Christ in this place. And we pray, Father, that as Johnny takes his vows, as he steps into this pulpit as minister of this congregation, that he will know your grace and your spirit in every way. May he have wisdom and discernment. May he be guided in the teaching that he brings. And Father, may he be the one who is able to lead this congregation to that next witness, Father, to that place where your word is declared greatly. And we pray, Father, that there may truly be that light which cannot be hid in this place. We thank you, Father, for Ruth and for the children, and we ask your blessing upon them. We think of the children, Father, as Caleb has just started school and as Esme has just begun nursery, and we pray for little Jude too, and we ask that they will know covenant love as they come into this place. We thank you for them, Father, and we ask that your grace will be with them in every way. And we thank you for Ruth returning to this, the congregation of her childhood. And we pray that this will be a good returning for her, and that she will know your help and grace in the difficulties and the challenges that there are of moving home. And we pray, Father, that as the family settle into the new months, that they will indeed find that a place which is a home to them, and may it be a happy home. We thank you, Father, for the time that Johnny has been able to take off, and may he, Father, come with his batteries recharged, so to speak, with enthusiasm and with determination. And we ask, Father, to bless them as a family in all that they are doing. We thank you, Father, for your grace for the session over these past few years. We thank you for the guidance that you have given them and the leading they have been able to bring to this point in the congregation's life. And we pray that you will continue to be with the session as they work with Johnny. May they know your help and share in that discernment and wisdom that Johnny brings. And we pray, Father, for Saturday afternoon. May this be a time indeed of joy and of thanksgiving. May it be a time in which your spirit is particularly close. May there be unity, Father, at that meeting. And Father, may it be a blessing to all and a pointer to further blessing in the future. We bless you, Father, that you are the God who is sovereign, that you move things in ways that we do not know, that we cannot see. And we praise you, Father, that you are the God in whom we can place our trust. And we do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we come to consider God's word, we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing Psalm 130, the A selection of Psalm 130 to the tune Aurelia, tune 230. And just to bring to your attention that stanza 5 will be sung to match the double meter tune. So Psalm 130A to Aurelia, tune 230. The psalmist in this psalm declares his hope of redemption and his expectation of deliverance. And what a wonderful truth it is, as we see in stanza 5 of this psalm, that he, God himself, will Israel from all his sins redeem. That God has provided that perfect redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. A redemption which nothing can be added to, nothing can be taken from. That redemption is perfect in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we stand to sing Psalm 130A to Aurelia, tune 230. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as we come to look into your word now, we ask for the illumination of your Spirit. May we have hearing ears to hear what you have to say to us. May we have seeing eyes to see the glory that there is in your word. And may we have willing hearts to follow what you are teaching us. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have your Bibles with you, just open at that passage of God's word that we read just a few moments ago in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. It's just one of those things in life that things never remain the same. Change is inevitable. Change comes to us all. It's something that not one of us is able to escape. But how is it we look at change? To some, they're able to embrace whatever change comes, and they seem to be able to go on and drive on in life. But there are others to whom change is something that is frightening, something that makes you want to go down into your shell and hide away. Yet change comes, and change comes to us all. Here we see the psalmist in that period of change. We don't know the full context of what he is writing about here, his prayer there at the beginning. And keep this in mind in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. That prayer of preserve me. David, as we're told, is the writer of this psalm, is facing some change. Is it an army that is surrounding him? We don't know. Is he lying on his sick bed? We don't know. Is he perhaps on the run from Saul, being chased under threat of his life? We don't know. But nevertheless, there is something in his life that has brought that challenge to him. And his prayer is immediate. His prayer is deep. His prayer is, preserve me, O God. But what we need to note about this psalm is how David goes on from that prayer of preserve me. How is it he faces the challenge? How is it he deals with the change that is coming in upon him? Whether he has seen it coming from a long way off or it has come suddenly. How is it he deals with this challenge of change? And as we consider this psalm together, let's bring to mind ourselves. How is it we deal with that inevitability of change in life? We're taught three lessons in this psalm. Three lessons of how to face the challenge of change. The first lesson is this. It is a matter of trust. It is a matter of trust. Isn't that what David does first of all? He declares his trust, but not his trust in himself, not a trust in something that he has within himself that he's able to bring to bear. No, he acknowledges humbly his need for God. And so whenever he prays, preserve me, O God, in you I put my trust. His focus isn't in on himself. His focus isn't even on the trouble that is around him primarily. Where does he turn his eyes to? He turns his eyes to the Lord. He turns his eyes to God. He knows that when it comes to whatever challenge is awaiting him here, whatever he is facing, he can't do it on his own. He can't face it on his own. But he knows that there is one to whom he can turn, one who knows the beginning from the end, one who will be with him right through every step of that way, whatever that pathway may bring. We should take encouragement from this, friends, that here is King David. Here is the great King of Israel. Here is the one who is the anointed one of God, facing that sort of life that we all know, facing that danger that we all can face. And what does he have to pray for? Preserve me, God. Keep me safe in this. Bring me through whatever it is I am facing. And you know what, Lord? I will trust you through this. I will take you at your word. I will accept your promises. I will believe what you have said. And whatever the trouble is, whatever may seem to be falling in upon me, will not be able to take me out of that care that you have promised me. When he prays, preserve me, he is trusting God to do precisely what God has said he will do, and God will preserve him. And how he speaks of God here is so instructive. In verse 2 there you see, O my soul, you have said to the Lord. Notice the capital letters there and the word Lord. Here he is speaking to the covenant Lord.